Lord, we thank you as we stand here at the edge of a new year, a year that has passed, and then a new year that is coming to pass. We meditate, we think about what you've done in our lives, and we think about this past year, and we dream about what this new year can be. So I pray right now, God, that by your Holy Spirit, you would just minister to us and meet us right where we are. That you would touch our minds and our hearts. We declare that our ears are open to hear what you have to say. Our minds are alert and our hearts are receptive to what you want to do and say inside of us. I ask that you would stand in this my body, that you would think with my mind and speak with my tongue. Say to us in this house those things that you would have us know. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, good morning and happy new year once again to all. And if you can bring the house lights up when you can, that'd be awesome. And what a year it has been. Most people take this time to reflect on what has gone on during the year that has passed. They remember victories, remember they have been, they remember pains and sorrows. And the movement of the calendar provides us all an opportunity, doesn't it? It provides all of us kind of a new chance, a new season, a clean slate. I saw somebody posted on Facebook yesterday a clock of 2017, and that clock had all the kind of the difficult things that had happened throughout the year. Maybe you've seen it. And at the end of that, the 2018 comes along, and then it starts talking about opportunity. So the old year was a year of death, or a year of sorrow, or a year of pain, or a year of failing to do our resolutions. And this new year brings all kinds of hope. The scripture says this in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19. It says, see, I am doing a new thing. Everyone say a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. There's something beautiful about new, isn't there? I don't know about you. I like, how many of you like new cars, right? I love the new car smell of new houses, new clothes. And here comes this new year. It's new. What will we do with this new opportunity? To be totally honest with you, it's kind of funny. I don't know if it was last night or two nights ago, but Sarah called me into the room after two or three attempts at getting her to go to bed. If you know what I'm talking about with little four-year-old girls, they just don't want to go to bed. And so she called me in and she asked me, because, Daddy, what comes first, Christmas or my birthday? Now, this was literally just a couple days ago. Yeah, I know what you're thinking. I said, honey, Christmas just happened. It's going to be in a year, and your birthday's going to come before Christmas. But when is it going to be, Daddy? He's like, well, it's December. And I said, no, Daddy, is it winter? She said. And I said, yes, winter. She said, winter, that's all. That, which is what it was her way of saying, Daddy, all you needed to say was winter, okay? You can leave me now. But little, and I love that little girl, right? I mean, they get into the New Year spirit, and they end by asking for a pony or whatever she was asking for. It's so classic. It's so perfect. What are your expectations for this new year? What are you looking forward to? I think that this year has been full of amazing things for me personally. This year, as most of you know, the Lord blessed me and the children with a wonderful lady named Amy, who's sitting right here, right? Who we got married in May. And after a season of grieving and a season of tears, the Lord's bringing joy to our home. Amen? The house, you can walk through our house now. Hallelujah. Praise God Almighty. You can find things in our home. That's not the only thing she's brought to us, but it's one of the wonderful bonuses. My parents have walked into my house since I've been married and go, oh, wow, the house looks nice. It's an amazing thing. But I have something to be thankful for this year, right? What are you thankful for this year? It's important to think about what has happened in these past 12 months and write down your thoughts. What am I thankful for? But there's also been some pains and trials, haven't there? Because human beings go through difficult times sometimes. There's been pains and there's been trials. And it's also important for us to learn from the things that have happened in our past. What are the things that have happened? What can I learn from the things that have happened? Normally, New Year's Eve, when I remember as a kid and growing up in Puerto Rico, we had Christmas, of course, then the New Year celebration, and then soon after, we had Three Kings Day. So Puerto Rican kids got the double whammy. And other Latino, Hispanic countries have Three Kings Day. It's
Isn't that the best? Don't you wish you had like two Christmases? I still remember some of the greatest gifts I ever got were on Three Kings Day. I got my first Nintendo on Three Kings Day. Yes, I'm an old guy. Nintendo was the greatest thing back then, right? But for me, growing up, New Year's Eve was kind of like a downer, and here's why. My family was always in church, and we would go to services that felt like they started at 5 p.m. all the way to midnight. They didn't really start at 5, but it felt that way. It's just like, man, it's a long service, and as a little kid, everybody else seems to be having fun. You turn on the TV, everybody's in New York or wherever they are, and we're here, and I'm sure, you know, it was wonderful messages, but as a little kid, it was like, ah! So I had that in my brain, so it's always very difficult for me. New Year's Eve is kind of like, okay, let's just kind of get through it. But as I've gotten older, I've reflected on the fact that this is a new opportunity for us. A new opportunity for me. Anything that I have failed at in this past year, I kind of get to restart, right? I got a new chance. And so the little girl talked about New Year's resolutions, that it's not just in one time, but it's a day-to-day situation. We get a chance to make New Year's resolutions. Anybody have any New Year's resolutions that you're going for this coming year? Nobody? Okay, awesome. Thank you very much. There's one person. So there was less people in the first service, but there was more people that had resolutions. So, but you probably, we all have some resolutions, right? Some desires, some things that we want. Anybody got some, what are some classic New Year's resolutions that people write down or have goals for? Can you name that? One of them? Two of them? Three? Okay, start a diet, right? Diet and exercise. Hallelujah. If that's one of yours, that's mine too, okay? Praise God. That's one of my goals. Any other resolutions? What else? Okay, get a good job. A better car? God, this year, please. And there's several of us that can pray that prayer, right? Absolutely. Other resolutions. Some people have financial resolutions. God, get me out of this mess that I'm in financially. Help me. Or help me to get to a better place. Some people have resolutions concerning their family relationships. Some people have resolutions concerning their addictions. That's right. Thank you. Their marriages, their relationship with their kids. God, this year, I would like for you to do something in this area of my life. Here's one thing I know for sure. Whether it's about your health or relationships or finances, or your relationship with God, it will not happen by accident. Whatever it is that your goals are, they will not happen by accident. In other words, we don't grow and become better and reach higher heights by accident. It requires intentionality. Everyone say intentionality. The times that I've been in my best shape physically and healthiest was when I was intentionally eating better and working out consistently. Are you with me? Right? The times that have been the best times in my marriage, the seasons of the best time in my marriage are when I intentionally invest in my spouse and intentionally show her love and care. It doesn't happen accidentally. Accidentally, naturally, I want to sit and watch sports and eat potato chips. Are you with me? That's what I naturally want to do. If intentionality is critical, it's the same with my kids. If I want to invest in my kids, I have to be intentional about reading with them, about spending quality time with them. And it's the same thing with God as well. The times that I've been closest to God have been when I intentionally make it a practice to seek after Him, to open myself up to allowing Him to do His work in my life. The new year provides an opportunity for that. Amen? I want us today to picture being on a journey where we're standing on the edge and we're looking at the promised land. The story that we're going to talk about today is the story of the people of Israel. They have been slaves in a land called Egypt. God supernaturally got them out of that mess. And how many of you can testify that God's gotten you out of some messes too? Amen? We are not where we used to be. Thank God for that. But after they go through through Egypt, they go through the desert. The desert is a time of uncertainty. It's a time of journeying. It's a time away from home. You're not where you used to be. You're not where you're going to be. You're in the middle. Are you with me? And a part of your journey and part of my journey is an in-between journey. We're not always settled. We're not always taken out of places. Sometimes we're in between. And God took them from Egypt through the desert and was taking them into a place that the Bible calls the promised land. It was going to be their home. It was going to be the place where they could settle, where they can eat wonderful fruit, where they can settle and have their own land and maybe give as an inheritance to their children the land that they had. And it was going to be a beautiful thing, the promised land. And something interesting happened. Moses led them just to the edge of the promised land, and then God took him. He died. And then they put a man named Joshua in charge. And this man, Joshua, said, okay, we're going to take the land. And the line of demarcation, the geographical body of water that was between the desert and the promised land was a river called the River Jordan, the Jordan River. You've heard of that, right? And what happened was that God told Joshua, tell the priest to carry the Ark of the Covenant. Now, if you don't know what the Ark of the Covenant is, that is okay. I would encourage you, in the beginning, the first few chapters of the Bible, especially Exodus, tells the story of how God got the people from Egypt out of slavery and through the desert. It's an amazing story, and it talks about the Ark of the Covenant there. But the Ark of the Covenant was something that was going to represent the presence of God. And the first thing that Joshua says is the first people that are going to cross that river are the priests carrying the Ark of God, because we need God's presence for this, right? We need God's help. And so the Bible says that as soon as the priest stepped into the water of the Jordan, the river that was pretty strong at that time, the water stopped supernaturally, miraculously. It stopped, and they were able to get into dry ground. Sounds familiar, right? Similar to the Moses Red Sea parting, but now this is not Moses, this is Joshua, and they crossed the Jordan, and they just stepped into the promised land. Now, what we're going to talk about today happens right before the Israelites take a city named Jericho. Anybody know about Jericho? Joshua fought the battle at Jericho, and the walls came tumbling down, right? It was a God's about to do some supernatural things in the promised land. He's going to give them cities. He's going to bring down walls, and they ultimately will conquer the promised land. An amazing thing is going to happen. But before that happens, God tells Joshua to do certain things. And you and I are staring at 2018. Amen? FYI, it hasn't started yet. It's going to start right around midnight tonight, right? 2018, that click of the calendar. And so we're standing facing this new year. God has taken us through some Egypt desert situations in our lives. Amen? And now we're staring at the new year. We're staring at the possibilities of what 2018 can be in your relationships, with God, with your spouse, with your kids, with your finances, with yourself. You know that there are sometimes that I've come to realize, the more I walk with God, that He reveals to me issues that I have inside of me, fears that I have inside of me, insecurities that I have inside of me. And by God's grace and by His Spirit, slowly He starts to reveal those things to me. And God's saying, I want to take you through the desert into the promised land, where you can be secure in me, where you can stop fearing people, fearing things, and stand confident that I'm with you, that your destiny is in my hands. It's the promised land. Amen? That's what we're looking at. But God, before they take Jericho and before they take the promised land, God says, before you do that, I want you to do something important. There's something that I need for you to do. And if you have your scriptures here, and I'm going to just follow this fairly quickly in the next few moments. The scripture says, the first verse, at that time, the Lord said to Joshua, make flint knives and circumcise the Israelites again. So Joshua made flint knives and circumcised the Israelites at Gibeath Haraloth, Joshua 5, 2, and verse 3. FYI, just a little bit of insight when I was beginning to prepare for this message, and I started reading the passage, I'm like, surely, Lord, there can be a different passage that I can talk about that doesn't use the word circumcision. Because it's not the most comfortable topic in the world. But I'll just tell you, FYI, I got it from this book. So if you have a problem with that topic, for whatever reason, God brings it up in this book often. And don't be nervous, I'll be careful. But we are going to talk about this idea of circumcision today for just a brief moment. And the first thing that God tells the people of Israel to do is to be circumcised. The first fill in there is circumcision. Circumcision is the action or practice of circumcising a young boy or man. This is what we're talking about here. Circumcision is the action or practice of circumcising a young boy or man. It represented God's covenant or special relationship with the people of Israel. It represented God's special relationship to the people of Israel. The first Hebrew, the first Israelite, the first Jew ever was a man named, anybody know? Abraham. A man named Abraham. And God spoke to Abraham, I'm going to make a nation out of you. That's where the Israelites come from. That's where the Jews come from. The first one was Abraham, but God said, and I'm going to have a special relationship with you. I'm going to have a covenant relationship with you. And the way that you physically, the sign of that covenant is going to be that all of your men are going to be circumcised. And every young boy that is born on the eighth day will be circumcised. It was a cutting away of excess skin. That's as detailed as I will get, okay? Are we okay with that? Just so that we're all at peace with each other. Can you just say circumcision? So now you can say, oh, pastor said circumcision, but you just did too, so we're okay, all right? Circumcision. It's a cutting away of excess. The second fill-in is covenant. In the Bible, it's an agreement between God and his people. A covenant. It's an agreement between God and his people. So God told Abraham that God made a covenant with Abraham that he was going to have a special relationship with the people of Israel. And the physical sign of that covenant was that all the males would be circumcised and all the males born into the family and the nation of Israel would be circumcised. So fast forward, here we are, Joshua, many, many years later. They've gone out of Egypt, through the desert, and now the promised land awaits. And before they're going to go take Jericho, God says, I want you to circumcise the Israelites again. What an odd thing. What an interesting thing. Here's a couple of thoughts on that. Circumcising the Israelites again was God's way of reminding them, before you take the land, I want you to renew your covenant with me. Before you take the land, before this new season comes, I want you to renew the special relationship that you have with me. And later on, we're going to read in the scripture here that it says the reason why they're going to be circumcised. So we'll look at this right now. Now, this is why he did so. All those who came out of Egypt, all the men of military age died in the wilderness on the way after leaving Egypt. All the people that came out had been circumcised because that was a sign of the special relationship. But all the people born in the wilderness during the journey from Egypt had not. The Israelites had moved about in the wilderness 40 years. How many know that's a long time, okay? 40 years. I turned 40 in a few days. I'm like, wow. So the people of Israel were traveling for as long as I've been living in the desert. That's a long time. 40 years until all the men who were of military age when they left Egypt had died. Since they had not obeyed the Lord, for the Lord had sworn to them that they would not see the land he had solemnly promised their ancestors to give us, a land flowing with milk and honey. So he raised up their sons in their place. And these were the ones Joshua circumcised. They were still uncircumcised because they had not been circumcised on the way. So here's the deal. All the people that were slaves in Egypt, they were part of the covenant of God, and they were all circumcised. All the men that came out of there were. They had the physical sign of the covenant with God. Amen? It's not what I'm talking about today. The important part is not the circumcision part. The important part is that it was a covenant with God. Are you with me? It was a sign of the covenant. They had all been circumcised. And during the time of the desert, many children had been born. And during that season, some things had been left undone. And they had not circumcised all the boys during the season of the desert. They had no clinics. Strong Memorial wasn't set up in the desert, right? There weren't any facilities. There was just no place to do it. So they didn't circumcise them during the desert. And many of these kids were born in the desert. Some of us sometimes feel like we're born in uncertainty. Our parents weren't everything that they were supposed to be. Where we were was not a good situation. We didn't have the money that most of our friends had. We didn't have the opportunities. And sometimes people feel that they were born in uncertainty. Many of these men were born in the wilderness. And I just want to tell you good news. Even for those people that were born in the desert, in the middle of the desert, where there was no facilities and they didn't have everything that everyone else seemed to have, God still says to them, to people born in uncertainty and in the desert, I want to renew a covenant with you. Amen? It doesn't matter where you've been or what desert you've been through, even if you were born in that, I want to renew a covenant with you. I don't care what race you are, how much money you have, where you come from. The renewal of the covenant is available to you and to me. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God for that. He wanted to renew the covenant, God says, because these people were born in the wilderness. Make knives and circumcise the Israelites again. Interesting. That when King David, you know his most famous story is David and what? David and Goliath, right? It's interesting that out of all the things King David could have said to Goliath, and he wasn't king at that time, out of all the things that he could have said to him, when David, little guy, goes up to Goliath, big guy, right? Imagine if Shaquille O'Neal was here and Shaq said, Pastor Lewis, I'm going to fight you. That's what David and Goliath was like, okay? A scary scene. David goes up to Goliath, and one of the things that David said before he started fighting him, he said this, who is this, I want you to listen, uncircumcised Philistine? Now, what an odd thing to say. All right, I'm getting ready. I'm going to fight. You're uncircumcised. What a strange thing to say. Here's why he said that. Here's what he meant. I'm going to fight you. Who do you think you are? You do not have a covenant. You don't have a special relationship with God like the people of Israel do. So David said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he dares defy the armies of the living God? In other words, the armies of the living God who were circumcised and they had a covenant with the living God. Are you with me? It's not about the physicality of it. It's about the fact that there was no special relationship there. And David made the point. All those who had come out of Egypt were not circumcised. And so God here is giving an opportunity to renew. Some of us here, as we start the new year, as we're looking into 2018, you say, I've missed it. There's some things in 2017. I wish I had done this. I wish I had gotten closer to God. I wish I had asked for forgiveness from my spouse. I wish I would have loved my kids in a different way. I wish I would have been a better example of God in my work. I wish all kinds of things. Can I just tell you today that as we step into this new year, just like as the Israelites stepped into the promised land, it's a good moment to renew your covenant with God. Amen? It's a good moment to get things right with you and God, with your family, with your spouse, with your kids. It's a good moment for that. I want you to renew the covenant. The entire nation was circumcised. They recognized that in order for God's blessing to be upon 2018, can I get an amen? In order for God's blessing to be on this new year, we have to renew our covenant before God just like the Israelites did. And let me say something here, just for clarification's sake. What does this mean? Are we all supposed, as men, are we all supposed to be physically circumcised? The answer is no. Everyone say no. That was for the people of Israel. Amen? That was a special thing that God asked them to do. This is, and I'm going to prove it in 1 second. This was a special command to them. There is a new way of establishing this special relationship with God now. And all the guys in the room said, amen. Amen? There's a new way. Is it still a physical thing? Is that what matters? Listen to this. Romans chapter 2, verse 28, and it is on your notes. A person is not a Jew, a descendant of Abraham. A person is not a Jew who is one only outwardly, nor is circumcision, there's that word, merely outward and physical. No! A person is a Jew who is one inwardly. And when he talks about Jew, he talks about having a person has a special relationship with God when you're one inwardly. And circumcision is circumcision of the heart. by the Spirit, not by the written code. Such a person's praise is not from other people, but from God. What the apostle here is saying is that there is excess skin around our hearts. There is excess envy and lust and hatred. There is excess disappointment. There's excess pain, emotional bitterness from things that have happened to you. There's all kinds of stuff around our hearts. And when God renews a covenant with you and with me, by His Spirit, He starts cutting away the excess stuff that is around our heart. Hallelujah. And He says, the circumcision I'm talking about is not just what Abraham had. It's something that only the Spirit of God can do. Because the Spirit of God can penetrate your soul like no one else and nothing else can. He can see your heart and the excess. And if you open up your heart to Him, He will come in and start cutting away the things that have been destructive to you. The things that are not pleasing to Him. So how do we renew this covenant? If it's not physical circumcision, how do we get to this process of allowing the Spirit of God to transform us? There was a group of people soon after Jesus was ascended into heaven who were listening to a message like you're listening to today, but this message that they were listening to was a lot better, okay? And there was a lot more people there because they were being preached at by a guy named the Apostle Peter. You know Peter from the Bible, right? Guy who walked on water, he was preaching to them about having a special relationship with God. And at the end of that message, the people said, but how do we do this? How can we have a right relationship with God? And here's what Peter said. Peter replied, it's in your notes there. Repent and be baptized. Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, for the cutting away of stuff in your life that needs to be dealt with. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children. It's for you and your children. Your life is not just about you. It's about you and the people that come after you. Your life is more than just about what happens to you. It's about what happens to the people, whether you have kids or you have influence. No, it doesn't matter. It's about you and the people after you. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. How do we renew this covenant? As we're staring into 2018, what do we do? The first thing, and this is in your notes there, is repent. The first part is repent. Oh, can I just tell you something about this word? You know, sometimes people are nervous about this word. Listen, I repent all the time. Now, there's a difference between a moment in my life when I wasn't walking with God and I recognized that Jesus Christ had died for me. I had to give my life to Him. And at that moment, I repented. I changed the course of direction of my life. I said, I was going this way. Now I want to go with you, God. Are you with me? So there's a moment of repentance. But can I just tell you that I don't just repent once. But often when I fail, and I know that I fail God, I have to repent again. And as we're looking into 2018, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what's going on in your life. But I would encourage you to start the process of renewing the covenant with God by saying, God, if there's anything that I need to repent and ask for forgiveness for, God, if there's something that has a wall between you and me, God, if there's anything that is preventing for this new year, everything you have for me, God, I repent. Forgive me. The first step is repent. The second step, Peter says, is be baptized. Be baptized. He's talking about water baptism. Just so that you know, in 3 weeks, on the 21st of January, right here, we're going to have a little water thing. And if you want to be water baptized as a public declaration of what Christ has done inside of you, you can do that. Why? Because the process is repent and be baptized. It's not just an internal thing, it's also a public declaration. You don't have to be circumcised like Abraham and the people of Israel were back then. That's not the physical sign anymore. The physical sign of what God's doing inside of you is that you get dunked in water. My old man dies, and now I'm a new person in Christ. It's a public declaration. Amen? So the first one is what? The second one is? Be baptized. The third one is receive the Holy Spirit. It's receive the Holy Spirit of God.
How do you know?
That's a great question. We open our hearts. It's perfect. It goes perfectly with what I want to say. We open our hearts to God. And here's what Jesus said. If you are evil, and if your kid asks for bread, you're not going to give him a piece of stone, are you? Or if he asks for fish, you're not going to give him a snake, because that would be horrible as a parent. In the same way, Jesus says, when we ask the Father for the Holy Spirit, because he's a loving Father, he's going to give it to us. Amen? And so here's the deal. I receive the Holy Spirit when I open up my heart to God and say, Lord, I'm open to receiving your Holy Spirit. And our job is to be open to the Spirit of God. God's job is to do the rest. Amen? I am not God. I don't have to pretend. I don't have to conjure something up. I said, God, I am here. I am repenting. I have been water baptized. And now I receive the Holy Spirit, which is your agent to come into my heart and to cut away the stuff that needs to be cut off. To take away the pain. God, that betrayal that I just have a real tough time forgiving. God, the Holy Spirit comes and cuts it away. And he starts renewing and making a difference and changing our heart. The Holy Spirit draws us to him. The Holy Spirit draws us to his word. Repent. Be baptized. Receive the Holy Spirit. Verse 8 of Joshua is a powerful verse. I'm jumping back up a little bit, kind of in the middle of your sheet, but here's what it says. And after the whole nation had been circumcised, they remained where they were in camp until they were healed. Until they were healed. And I just want to say something about this, and I just captured me. Sometimes people make a decision to renew a covenant before God. But listen. When you repent, and even when you're water baptized, and even in the process of the Holy Spirit changing you, it does not always mean that all of a sudden everything in your life is perfectly fine. It doesn't always mean that everything is good. Sometimes we come to God, and because of the work that he's doing inside of us, he's starting to heal us, but we need time to heal. Amen? We need time to heal. This particular verse, I just love the way it says it. After they were circumcised, after they had renewed the covenant, they didn't just run over to Jericho. They couldn't do that. They had to take some time to heal. And some of us need healing from pain, from abuses, from addictions, from relationships, from all kinds of stuff. We need to be healed. I tell people that have been coming to church in the past few months, I say to them, give us a year of your life. Come as much as you can every Sunday. Why? Because you need time to renew the covenant and you need time to heal. Oh, God, help us to heal. You know, there are things that God has been healing me from that I didn't know I needed to be healed from. You know, I recognized that I have a natural inclination emotionally. This is not going to make sense to you, so you can forget what I'm about to say if you want. But emotionally, I've recognized that there's something inside of me, maybe from stuff that happened to me when I was a kid or experiences that I had, that I am afraid to give my best to something. Because if I give my best in my studies, or I give my best to my spouse, or I give my best to my kids, and it's not enough, then I will feel like a failure. So instead of trying my best, I step back. Naturally. Are you with me? That's my uncircumcised heart. Naturally. One of the things that the Holy Spirit has done inside of me is, no, I've given you talents, I've given you abilities, you go for it. If you fail, that doesn't concern you. The outcomes are up to me. You're going to do the best that you can and trust me with the outcome. And little by little, God is healing me from that stinking thinking. What does God need to heal you from? I don't know what it is. If I gave you the microphone and we had a moment of honesty, you could say, I recognize that even though everything seems fine, I'm good, I'm here at church, but there's stuff inside of me. Oh, God, would you let the Holy Spirit come inside and start bringing healing and restoration to you, to your emotions, to your life? Not just the obvious stuff. Well, I need to stop drinking. I need to stop smoking. I need to stop doing drugs. I need to stop sleeping around. Yes, you do, and the Holy Spirit can do that. But there are other things that are more subtle. After the whole nation had been circumcised, they remained where they were in camp until they were healed. Verse 9, then the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. So the place has been called Gilgal to this day. I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt. You have renewed the covenant. They hadn't taken the land yet. They hadn't done anything. They had just renewed the covenant. And God said, today I have rolled away, I have taken away the reproach. What is reproach? The reproach is the expression of disapproval or disappointment. If you have a mommy and your daddy, you know exactly what reproach means. Because sometimes when we were kids, or even as adults, we look for mommy and daddy's approval. Can I get an amen? Because we want to please them. We want them to be pleased with us. Sometimes it's an impossible task. But we want to for people to approve of us, our parents to approve. Listen, God said to the nation, now that you've renewed the covenant, you've repented, you've been circumcised of heart, you have been baptized, you are being filled with the Spirit of God, the reproach has been taken away from you. God does not look at you with disapproval or disappointment. Listen, because of the cross of Christ, and because Jesus paid the price, God put all of his disapproval on his son Jesus at the cross, so that now the disapproval that we deserve, Jesus took upon himself. Amen? And now we can be free. The reproach has been taken away, even before you've performed well, even before Jericho or the promised land. As we begin this year, may the Lord help us to renew the covenant because of Christ. We are choosing to repent, be baptized, and receive his Spirit. God himself has removed the disapproval. You're no longer guilty. You don't have to be ashamed. You can take the land that God has given you this year. Amen? 2018, he has taken away the reproach from you. You've already repented. You've been baptized. You receive the Holy Spirit. Make a decision to live into his repentance, into the baptism that you were baptized with, into the life filled with the Holy Spirit of God. He wants to empower you today. Let's bow our heads and pray. Jesus, we thank you for your love and your grace in our lives. Thank you for a call as we begin this new year to renew the covenant that we have with you. And right now, just think about it. Do business with God. Do you need to repent today? Just tell him. Just in your heart, not out loud, just in your heart, just say, Lord, I repent today. Whatever that is. If you're repenting because you're turning your entire life over to God for the first time, that's a good prayer. If you know that there are some things in your heart and your life that you need to repent for, start there. If you're here today and you know you need to be water baptized, you have made a decision internally that you want to follow Jesus, but you have not been publicly bold and said, I belong to him and I want to be water baptized. Tell that to him today. And if you're here and you want more of his Spirit, just say, Lord, I'm open to receiving your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your Holy Spirit today in this moment.
We thank you for that. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen.